Welcome to The Infected.
Hello, we are The Infected, born during the days of lockdown, and we are infected with the love of music. Our mission at The Infected is this: we spread what we love and what we believe is worth your attention. Each time we endorse a work of art, each time we create another entry point to it, with each story we share, we aim to add value for our listeners and for the artists we support. Our goal is to be a platform for the dreamers, the seers, the makers, the ones that are lost in the woods, loving every minute of it, the ones that report back to us afterwards, in music and lyrics. Enjoy the ride. We kicked off the show with Kaylan Mikla, forgive me if I pronounce this in an odd way because it's Icelandic, and this is an Icelandic synth-punk band, as they call themselves. I had pegged them as goth banshee darkwave, although the best description I found is dark, dream-fueled poetry set to sexy, doom-laden post-punk. Whatever you want to call it, I like Kaylan Mikla a lot. What did you think, Gov?
You're totally on right path, and I'm not sure which genre this fits into, but we've heard plenty of other bands, new bands, that are trying to emulate or were inspired by the original darkwave sounds. This is without a doubt some premium stuff. It's a solid 10. I'm just curious, why have I never heard of this? Can you tell me more? Who are they? How did you come across this?
Yeah.
Seriously.
They've been together for about 6 years. The band was formed in Reykjavik by its three female band members, Lofi, Margreet and Solveig, who attended the same high school. Two of the band members signed up for a poetry slam competition 6 years ago, and although they had no plans to form a band, they won the first prize and were encouraged to continue in music. So Lofi joined them, and soon they released their first album independently. In these early days, the band used traditional punk instruments, with Margreet playing bass guitar and Solveig playing drums. Mm-hmm. And Solveig later switched to drum machines and synthesizers, which made the music darker and more in the sound that you've heard here right now.
Yeah.
And they're not completely unknown.
Okay.
The band has performed at various festivals, including Eurosonic, Meltdown and Roadburn. And, in fact, Kalen Mikla was invited by Robert Smith to perform at the Meltdown Festival in 2018, when he was a curator for the festival. And they also played at The Cure's 40th anniversary celebration concert in Hyde Park.
Okay.
And more recently, they toured with Drab Majesty, so they're not completely undiscovered. But their last album, Not After Not, is from 2018, 2 years ago, and it's simply brilliant.
It is.
And I'm not the only one who thinks so. It was Postpunk.com's Album of the Year for 2018. Anyway, it's an absolute must-listen in my book. The whole album is great.
I'll have to check out more of this album. So if Robert Smith is behind these girls, obviously talent here and recognition, you can hear it. This is something that really stands out.
There's something special about this band. They also are proudly Icelandic, so all their lyrics are in Icelandic as well. So that makes it hard to figure out what they're singing about. But luckily I found out that on their website, kalenmikla.com, they also have translations of the lyrics, so that helps. The track we just played was about the Dromadis, the nightmare nymph of death who leads men into the night where they dance until they freeze to death.
Like another spin of the killer mermaid that lures sailors into their demise.
Colder with more geysers and stuff.
Yeah, cool.
And the widescreen video for this track is shot in Iceland and it is stunning. A short, surreal narrative set in a place where occult rituals are used as technology and human sacrifice as unusual results. Surrealistic imagery ranges from vast desolation to cavernous ritualism featuring the three band members as an ice witch coven engaged in a dark ritual.
God damn.
As Hove likes to say, powerful stuff.
Powerful stuff indeed, my friend. I'm sold. Shall we put this on our website, you think? That's this video clip?
Yeah, I'm going to put everything in the show notes, including the video, which is amazing and definitely worth your time.
Thank you. Sounds good, man.
Infect me.
So from these three Icelandic girls with a lot of talent and great music, let me take it to one guy from The Hague, and his name is Model Man. I came across his music for the first time around 2007. Let me dig back a little bit. And some friends of mine had their own radio show called Radio Resistencia, or Radio Resistance. And they recorded it from a wharf basement werfkelder in your town, Jeroen, Utrecht.
Hey.
And
cool.
The werfkelders are famous in Utrecht. And there were just four guys with great taste in music and a lot of knowledge about dark music. I discovered and learned a lot from them by joining these recording sessions. And they were broadcast on Intergalactic FM at the time. I'm not sure if they still do those things. But anyway, back to Model Man. It's the alter ego of DJ Overdose from The Hague, as I just mentioned. Yes, serious name.
Okay.
Real name is Jeroen Warmenhoven. And he's been active for over 20 years now in producing music, spinning records under multiple aliases. And he has released 33 singles and 4 full-length albums so far.
Wow. Wow.
Over 20 years, still quite productive. He's a driving force in the Dutch electro scene as well. Mostly he has a passion for hip-hop, though. You wouldn't expect that, maybe. But hip-hop from the 80s. And also, as he says, from 1995 to 2005, the second golden age of hip-hop. Are you a hip-hop fan, Jeroen?
I do play hip-hop occasionally, but it's not my main genre.
Similar. Just some old Snoop Dogg stuff here and there. But he knows a lot about it. And he walks around with a Kangol hat. Remember those?
Yeah.
Some Adidas sneakers and a golden chain, for real.
Yeah.
But he also produces great electronic stuff. Italo, disco, nostalgic 80s stuff. So it's a very versatile guy, if you ask me.
Yeah. And does he have this VW logo on the gold chain as well? Or,
No, he did have a big-ass clock on the chain.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. That's just what's his name again?
Flavor Flav, yep.
Yeah, Flavor Flav. Thank you very much. So anyways, under the Model Man name, he's bringing the 80s back into recent times. And you could describe his sound as a kind of dark electro pop. And what I love about the track we're going to play is the relentless drive of the drums and especially the pounding snare drum. That's the 80s signature, really hard-hitting snare drum. It's a repetitive song, yes, but the mood it offers is just great.
Is it from recent or is it also an older track?
Good question, sir. It's from 2006.
Okay.
So it's, well, a bit of the vacuum because there was not much going on between 2000 and 2010 that we feature in our podcast, I believe.
True.
So it's quite early recent, if you will.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really recommend checking out Model Man on Spotify because luckily all of his work is out there. The track we're going to play is Honesty Doesn't Pay. Does honesty pay? My motto is that it does, but the honest route is not always easy, as we all know. So here we go. Honesty Doesn't Pay by Model Man. So that was Model Man with Honesty Doesn't Pay from the album Shouldn't I Be Dead By Now.
That's a great album title too.
Yeah. Moody. What do you think, Jeroen? Is it something you could enjoy?
It is amazing because it's quite repetitive. And normally I get really bored quickly. But in this case, I love it. It's the atmosphere is just perfect, and I like the claps and the little changes with the synths in the background, and it's just a really relaxing track.
Yeah, it is. Totally agree. It's kind of repetitive, but it keeps interesting. I'm not sure why. It's the subtleties, maybe, or the mood that just subtly builds up. But glad you liked it, man.
Yeah, it's a soundtrack for driving on the highway at night or
nice.
Coming home when everybody's asleep and opening a beer before you go to bed. Those types of moments.
I got that vibe instantly. Good example.
Yeah, I dig it. It's cool. So Model Man was not really a model man then, if his alter ego was DJ Overdose.
Nope, definitely not, I guess.
So I'm going to be a boring old fart now, and usually I don't do this, but sometimes I break my own rules, and I'm going to tell you two stories about two tracks which were very important to me in my high school days. So these two tracks are both from 1981, and the first one I want to play is a track by Fisher Z. It's a post-punk band that most people have forgotten around the world, and they were only ever very popular in Britain and the Netherlands and nowhere else. But Fisher Z was a great band, and I picked a track called Red Skies Over Paradise.
Great name as well, by the way, Jeroen.
Red Skies Over Paradise, yeah.
Love it.
That's quite the thing, too, yeah, because I've played this vinyl album countless times on my boys' room pickup, and you have to realize at the time, we were all afraid that nuclear missiles might be launched at any minute from Russia or America,
mm-hmm.
and it would just be game over for everyone.
Cold War stuff.
Everything you ever did would have been for nothing. And this was the atmosphere of the early 80s, the pressure on Generation X in their youth, the anxiety that any minute, down in a bunker under the sea, a man could press a button and everything would be gone. And this album featured many songs about politics and several references to the Cold War, this title track and the album cover in particular. The album itself is quite varied in musical styles, but it has that typical post-punk biting guitar sound and lyrics that spoke to a generation. Red Skies Over Paradise received very positive reviews from media and fans, and it encouraged band leader John Watts to pursue a solo career as well. He came back to Fisher Z though, and still plays with them, and during the days of lockdown, he also likes to perform solo on Facebook, simply playing his acoustic guitar and singing, while responding to fans live in between songs. This is Red Skies Over Paradise by Fisher Z.
My hand reached down for the radio. I held it up to my ear. The beads of sweat gathered on my head and trickled down. Out in the park, children were playing. Though it was dark, sky glowed red. People were starving. London's gone. We saw the cloud rise from here. An ice cream van with its music on goes round and round. Out in the park, children were playing. Though it was dark, sky glowed. But the
lots of sand on the cellar floor. We went down there for the night. The barricade that my brother made keeps out the light. Out in the park, children were playing.
You said you'd just be a boring old man by suggesting Fisher Z, if I recall. But I've never listened to anything by them, and I'm glad you put it onto my radar, actually. So it's also listening to this track quite hard to compare Fisher Z to other bands or music that I know. They got this nice reggae-like bass line with a new wave feel and good singing. Also, singing reminded me a bit of Sting. Does that make any sense? Or
I can understand that, definitely, yeah.
There's another song that I checked out before we did our recording today. It's Berlin. Also really great. It's on the same album, Red Skies Over Paradise. Again, great title. Tell me more.
So actually, there's another track on that album, Red Skies Over Paradise, which is called Marlies. And that Marlies track is the one that has actually been a hit in both the UK and the Netherlands for them. They've never really reached over the top 25 position in the charts in the Netherlands or in England. But they have a very faithful following. This was the third album by Fisher Z. All of these albums are worthwhile. I picked this track particularly because I like the contrast of the sort of reggae-type rhythm with the more typical post-punk refrain.
Okay, fair enough.
But they are a very versatile band indeed. And it's one of those bands that has also been very outspoken, critical of society and government. So their lyrics are worthwhile to check out as well.
Cold War era, like the Terminator 2 opening scene came to mind, with Sarah Connor grabbing that fence, that playground that got scorched by the explosion. It's a impending doom and gloom. That's very apparent.
Still a good track, even if you don't want to go into the impending sense of doom and gloom and nuclear blasts. They're a very creative and fun band. I recommend Red Skies of Paradise as an album. It's a whole album is worthwhile.
So that's the thing. We're really lucky to have an increasingly growing audience on our podcast. But if it was only two people listening, we would still do it. Because the thing is, we learn from each other. Old bands, new bands, specific tracks and stories. I really love this one. We got something from Germany, from the city of Hamburg. It's Exmal Deutschland. They were a band that started off with quite raw and bleak sounding goth rock in the early 80s. There were also an all-women band. There was four or five girls. And they were also, maybe like Fisher Z, as you mentioned, seriously underplayed outside of the UK and the EU territory. Anyway, the leading lady was Anja Hübe. She was a girl in her teens. She would make several trips to London with her boyfriend to check out the punk scene in the late 70s. And at the same time, she also wanted to become a model in Paris.
Interesting combination, yeah.
That's a difficult one. Punk scene, model in Paris. Right, yeah. So still heavily influenced by the punk scene, she chose to choose the musical path and soon formed the band Exmal Deutschland with the assistance of some borrowed equipment from friends and boyfriends and former boyfriends. Soon they captured the attention of BBC's John Peel. Here's John Peel again. It's like a red line or a common theme in our podcast.
Thank you, John.
They gained a substantial audience quite soon. And they performed live with Einstürzende Neubauten. We covered them. Was it in season one where we were still doing it in Dutch, Jeroen?
I'm not sure.
I believe so. They also performed with The Cult, The Stranglers, and many more big acts. And after two quite bleak albums on the famous 4AD record label, they chose a more mainstream path, but still with a bit of balls, with a bit of dark edge. I'm referring to the third album that they did. It was called Viva, and that's also the album that I picked a track for today. The album didn't do very well. I think it is their best work. It offers a very enjoyable listening experience. It's more polished, less raw. Anyway, soon after this album, in 1987, the band split up and Anja Hube was more interested in the 90s in the techno and trance scene. So she evolved and she worked with the international broadcast music station, Viva TV. Remember that maybe?
Oh yeah.
Like a sort of MTV, yeah. Video clips and everything. And she hosted the show Hausfrau, which means house music lady or house music woman or not sure how to translate it. Anyway, it was a 1-hour TV show with video clips, DJs, reports from raves and parties. These days, from 2017 onwards, she's working as a visual artist, moving between Hamburg in Germany and New York. So she's doing paintings now, these days.
Okay.
Yeah, she's always been in the music business from the raw and bleak goth sounds to a more mainstream feel to a TV show and now doing art. And let's listen to a track from the wonderful album that is Viva from 1987. It's a quite rare album and the track is Matador. Here we go.
Oh, 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 oh
you surprised me with this one, Gove.
Is that a good thing, or...?
Yeah, you did. I know a couple of tracks by Exmal Deutschland, and this is very different than what I know or what I've heard before. But in this case, I don't know, it's very light, poppy, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
My man. I think you're right, Jeroen. And when was it? We played Clan of Zymox a lot of episodes back, and you can pick the classics, but it's also fun to see what a band evolved into, and the less regarded as popular tracks feature them. It's a very catchy one, this one.
Ah, yes.
It's a guilty pleasure, not really guilty. Guilty is a wrong word. It sticks with you, but it still has that edge that I like. And I'm also a sucker for these female vocals that are like shrieky.
Yeah,
like what Susie does as well sometimes.
I'm not sure shrieky would be considered a compliment, but I guess I know
what
you mean. Yeah,
I just no, yeah, okay. Maybe I just picked the wrong example, but glad you still liked it. At least I think you did.
Yeah, no, it's usually I drink whiskey when I really want to go drinking.
Okay.
But sometimes when it's sunny outside, I just take a glass of rosé, and this is the glass of rosé of the repertoire of Exmal Deutschland.
That's a great metaphor. Nothing to add. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, I promised you another track from 1981, and this is a track by Japan. It's called Ghosts. It's a track I played over and over during my high school days.
Mm-hmm.
I even had a t-shirt with the lyrics to this track.
Nice.
Japan was a British group led by David Sylvian, and they were ahead of their time. They stood at the foundation of the New Wave and the Blitz movement. But just when those trends were breaking through to a larger audience, mm-hmm. Japan disbanded in 1981. Ghosts was their greatest hit just before the breakup. And this song is extraordinary in the sense that it's very different from what you'd hear in the hit parade generally. It's a haunting ballad with a very minimal arrangement, and yet it managed to reach the UK top 10 in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
Over 25 years later, David Sylvian said that this song is the only piece that Japan produced that still resonates with him, since it's the most autobiographical piece. And he explained, "It was the only time I let something of a personal nature come through, and it set me on a path in terms of where I wanted to proceed in going solo." Despite the song's success, Japan split a few months after its release. And Sylvian later explained that even though the band was becoming successful, he found himself no happier than when they had started. And they started in 1974, so they'd been at it for a while. And he found out, once they became famous, that he didn't like being held in. He didn't like being filmed, photographed and written about. He didn't enjoy people walking in his footsteps and trying to look like him. In short, he found the experience of fame underwhelming. Fame, it turned out, wasn't what he wanted. And that is the revelation that David Sylvian describes in this song. "Just when I think I'm winning, when I've broken every door, the ghosts of my life blow wilder than before. Just when I thought I could not be stopped, when my chance came to be king, the ghosts of my life blew wilder than the wind." And David felt he had to disband the group to regain his freedom. In doing so, he had to upset the lives of some very dear friends, his bandmates, and their families. But to him, it was a means of survival and a way of trying to find a purposeful existence. So this track is special because Ghosts was Japan's greatest hit, and at the same time, it was David Sylvian's official announcement to the band and to the world that it all had come to an end. This is Ghosts by Japan.
Wilder than before. Just when be stopped when my chance came to be king. The ghost of my life blew wilder than the wind.
Split up in 1981, as you just mentioned.
Yes.
But it sounds so much more recent. And also their previous album does, Gentlemen Take Polaroids. Kind of interesting thought. It definitely sounds much more recent. It's kind of intriguing. I'm not sure why, but anyway.
No, they had their own sound, and the band name Japan was a placeholder that they, in the end, kept because they couldn't think of a band name in the beginning, and in the end, you know, they've been built as Japan a couple of times and I thought we'll stick with it. But it's been very important in their development, in the sense that they were very popular in Japan. Obviously they got some attention there because of their name, but they also really embraced Asian culture. And David Sylvian, when he quit Japan, actually started working together with Ryuichi Sakamoto, who you probably also know, a synthesizer hero from Japan.
Yes, I do know him.
And you can see that Japanese and Chinese culture is important in their later work.
Yeah.
And it's very much synthesizer-based.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cleanly produced. It stands up to the test of time in terms of the sound as well.
It does, it does. It sounds really fresh to this day. And I know that Tin Drum, the album that this is on, is regarded as their masterpiece by many. It's also a bit confusing and hard to follow for me in some instances, in all honesty. But this song and all the other songs, they grow on you. This is an album that just gets better the more you play it, in my opinion. It's definitely a very original work.
Yeah, this is one of those albums that the first time you hear it, you think it's all over the place and its song structures are difficult and you're not sure where things are going. And when you hear Ghosts, you think, okay, this is the intro, and it turns out to be the whole track. So it's confusing maybe, but this is a type of album that rewards you when you listen to it several times. And every time you listen to it, it grows on you and it gets better and better.
It definitely does.
It has a high barrier to entry, but it's also very rewarding and completely unique in the musical soundscape of 1981. They carved out a place which was completely their own.
Yeah. And you can also, I think, when listening to their albums, like feel this building up to what it became and Tin Drum. And then maybe at the high point, it was a great decision to split up for some reason. It just adds to the mystique, to the legacy, maybe.
Yeah.
We're going to take it all the way, I think, 30 years ahead of Tin Drum and Japan by introducing to you the genre that is called Vaporwave. You have like synthwave, vaporwave. It's kind of a difficult one.
I've seen it, but I couldn't explain to my mother what vaporwave is.
No, I got the same thing. I just tended to listen to some songs and it turned out to be vaporwave. So I'm wasn't aware of this genre, but I dug up some info because the artists we're about to play, these guys are so obscure, you can't find anything. I will just tell you a bit more about the genre instead. And as you know, synthpop and synthwave and similar styles are also part of The Infected, but we haven't featured much recent music. I have not featured much recent music over the last months. That's an admission. So today I bring to you Vaporwave, a musical genre that was born on the internet in the early 2010s. If you want to look for new Vaporwave music in 2021, it's almost impossible, because the genre has been dead since around 2016, so it only existed for a few active years. So how do we discuss a style that is dead? Well, maybe we can bring it back to life, at least for this episode. Vaporwave is kind of difficult to place. It was born in a reaction to economic forces and other forces that were very much part of our lives, like globalization, consumerism, as the most important themes. But mostly, it's just a over-the-top attempt to recreate cheesy 80s nostalgia, like elevator music and stuff. So,
yeah,
it's just a really great but cheesy attempt to recreate old 80s stuff, I think. For instance, in a lot of videos on YouTube, you can see a lot of glorification of old American shopping mall footages from the 80s. Also, the band names often have brands in them or logos in their artwork, like Pepsi or other stuff. Early Apple computers, floppy disks, imagery. There's also a band, by the way, Windows 96. I like that one. That's a nice one, right?
That's funny.
Yeah, you used to work at Microsoft, as did I, for a brief time. You have Windows 95, obviously, and 98, but they call themselves Windows 96. Nice. Anyway, don't confuse Vaporwave with Synthwave, because Synthwave is a more serious attempt to recreate the 80s vibe. One of the bigger names in Vaporwave is, without a doubt, Telepath. His real name is Luke Lorilla. Of course, he is so obscure that it's hard to find any information. He's made one live appearance in 2019, I saw on the internet. He was dressed in a costume and a mask, so you can't recognize who he is or what he looks like.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. What I did, just to give you a overview of the genre, I incorporated a song by Telepath, one by the band Disconscious, and also one track that is regarded the very first Vaporwave track ever, from 2008. Here we go. something different.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I don't think I'm going to be looking up a lot of vaporwave, but it's something else, definitely. Yeah.
No need to. Just a short overview of a genre that's electronic and moody at the same time. But
no, I like the fact that you edited these songs together, and that gave me the background. Definitely something I can now claim to be a connoisseur of. Because I know all about the genre now. I can flex with my music knowledge about vaporwave now.
Good man, good thing.
I knew nothing about it 6 minutes ago, so thanks for the edit and the background on this. But I guess eventually even vaporwave evaporated.
Yeah, it did, after only 6 years. But still glad you liked it, and maybe some of our listeners enjoy it. Do let us know, by the way, what you thought of this episode by reaching out to us on our website, www.theinfected.nl. Thanks again for listening. But wait, don't disconnect, don't stop. Before we say goodbye to each other, of course, we have our 8-bit competition. So hang on till the end for a chance to win free merchandise. And before we play this week's challenge, let's listen to the solution from last week.
And here is episode 1's 8-bit track.
And now, on to the competition of this week. If you can recognize the artist and track of this 8-bit challenge, send us a message via theinfected.nl. This is the 8-bit track of this week. Good night, fellow creatures of the dark.
Stay strange.